We're going to start with a quiz this morning. I'm going to give you five things, and I'm going to see if you can figure out what these five things have in common. So I want you to listen carefully. The first is socks. Second is Lego Spider-Man. Third is Himalayan dog chews. Actually, I'm going to just do four, make it easy for you. Fourth one is fishing lures. So we have socks, Lego Spider-Man. Oh, no, I do have five. Socks, Lego Spider-Man, tea, Himalayan dog chews, and fishing lures. Socks, Lego Spider-Man, tea, Himalayan dog chews, and fishing lures. You all see the common thread in them, don't you? Yeah, absolutely, right? Common thread in them is if you wanted to, you could buy an advent calendar with any one of those five things in it. If you're familiar with advent calendars, there are these little calendars and there's little doors or boxes that open up as a countdown to Christmas. We used to have one growing up, and there were little things you'd snap on a thing, and you'd count down, and the final one was a star or sometimes a manger to count down Jesus. But I'm trying to figure out Himalayan dog chews and tea and socks and how those necessarily relate to Advent. I'm not really sure they do. And it's the same way with the text that we read this morning. And if you were listening to those, you thought, I thought we were getting ready for Christmas. And all of a sudden, I'm reading passages about the sun and the moon being darkened and things in the sky and what in the world is going on with these texts? And so, but they are all connected. And we think about these Advent calendars and how do they relate to Christmas? I don't have any idea. But I think these passages, if we think closely about them, do connect us to the season of Advent. Now, the season of Advent, if you're not familiar with that idea, is for many hundreds of years, the church, and by the church, I mean the church across the world, has celebrated a church calendar. And they go through each year a series, and it begins the opening of the church year is Advent. And so Happy New Year, everyone. So today is the first day of the new year. And it begins with the time leading up to the birth of Jesus and then goes through the life of Jesus and his death, his resurrection, his ascension, the sending of the Spirit, and then into ordinary time, and it repeats. And it's a way for the people in the church to remind themselves of the story of Jesus and how it relates to all of our life. And so Advent is a time of preparation. Advent simply means coming. But Advent refers not only to Jesus' first coming, but his second coming. Not only that he came once as a baby and grew to be a man who would die on a cross, but that he will come again in judgment. And so these series of readings all connect to that. And so many churches use what's called a lectionary, and those series of readings are a way to work our ways through that. And so today, we're going to be looking at one of those in particular, these readings from these stories and a particular theme in them. But first, a story that I read recently, and it's about a pastor who lived during the time of the Vietnam War. And during this time of the Vietnam War, he was into the anti-war movement. He was a part of the anti-war movement. And each day, he would go, or each evening, actually, he would go and stand outside the White House with a single candle lit. It didn't matter if it was sunshine or rain or what the weather was like. He would stand there with a single candle. And time went by. And time went by, and he continued. He became a little more famous in some sense. And finally, a journalist came to talk to this pastor, Abraham Musta. And he said to him, do you really think you can change the policies of the United States by standing alone with a candle? And the story goes that he responded to this journalist by saying, I don't do this to change the country. He said, I do this so the country won't change me. And what he was saying was he was going through this series of practices because he realized that when we're part of a culture, we can be shaped and molded by it. In the same way, as we think about these Advent calendars with Himalayan dog chews and socks and tea and Lego Spider-Man, it feels like as we work in the midst of those, they can begin to shape us and make us begin to think Christmas is about getting stuff. It's about materialism, and it's about all these other things that can potentially happen. If I have Himalayan dog shoes, my dog will be happy. If I have these great new socks, my feet will be happy. And so it's a sense of, if I have more stuff, I will be happy, and it's a sense of what I'm getting. And what we do when we read these passages, when we come on a Sunday morning, we gather for worship, and we sing together, and we read Scripture together. It's not so much that we can change the world through doing those things. We do them so that we're not changed by the world around us. And so in the season of Advent, one of the typical ways of structuring the seasons of Advent are with the themes of hope, love, joy, and peace. And so today we're going to be considering the theme of hope. And we're going to be focusing on the passage that was read from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 21. And so kind of setting up the story here, Jesus is at the temple. And the temple is the center of Jewish worship. It's this massive structure. And sometimes we think of this tiny thing. It's huge. Some of the single stones of the temple were probably 10 foot high by 40 feet long, weighing hundreds of tons. And so these massive stones, and it was this huge structure. And so Luke tells us that at one point, Jesus and his followers were in the temple, and they look out, and they say, oh, look at how amazing this temple is, how wonderful it is. And Jesus says to them this, as for what you see, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. And so here they are looking at this huge temple, this thing that has been standing for decades. In fact, when they're there, the temple is in a remodeling project. How many of you have ever done remodeling projects? How long does a remodeling project take? Longer than you expect, right? Well, the temple remodeling project began under King Herod in about 30 BC. So about 30 years before Jesus. The temple remodeling project finished in about 60 AD. So roughly 90 years for that remodeling project. So if you feel like your remodeling project went a little long, you know, you're doing pretty well if you're less than 90 years. So, but they're in the midst of this massive project, and so they're looking at this huge temple, and they're saying, wow, look at the size of this thing. And Jesus says, the day is coming when nothing will be left standing. And he's using a bit of hyperbole, just like some we would say something is completely destroyed or been leveled. He's not saying every stone will be gone, but he's making this picture of something that's going to happen. And the disciples are looking and say, well, when's this going to happen? How are we going to know? And he goes on in the beginning of chapter 21 and lists out. He said, there's going to be signs. He says, there'll be false prophets coming. There's going to be wars. There's going to be persecution, natural disaster. There's going to be signs in the sky. And he's telling them all these things that are going to be happening. And he kind of goes back and forth between immediate future and far in the distant future. But he's telling them that something's going to happen and they're going to be watching. But he ends with this in some sense. When he's talking about it, he's saying, don't pay so much attention to the signs, but the verse I want to pay attention to is chapter 21, verse 28. He says, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. What he's telling them is pay a little less attention to all the things going around and pay attention to what you're called to do. And I'm thinking as he's telling them, there's going to be war. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be the sun and moon darkened, all these crazy things going on. And he says, lift up your heads. I'm thinking if that kind of stuff is going on, I'm putting my head down. I'm ducking because I don't want to do it. But what is he saying? He's saying that in the midst of all the troubles, there will be redemption. There'll be a rescue of some kind. And now Jesus is speaking to his second coming, which we don't know when that will be. That sometime in the future, he's going to come and set things right. But I think the words of Jesus also have application for us today. As we think through this idea of hope and we're looking at the world around us, and I think of a sermon that Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor and theologian, preached during the Christmas season. And in that sermon, Bonhoeffer talked about an event that was happening about the same time as he was preaching. This was about 1933, 1934. There had been a mine cave-in in Spain, which people heard about all around the world. And we've had those kind of events happen here where in the recent past where there's a cave-in and a mine and the miners are trapped deep down in the mine. Bonhoeffer says, imagine those miners as they're down there. And then they hear a little noise above and they hear some hammers and they hear a hole opening up and they see a little bit of light coming through and they hear from above, hold on, we're coming for you. And all of a sudden, the miner's entire focus is shifted on that rescue. Their eyes are lifted up to that. And what Bonhoeffer says is, in the same way it is for us for the coming of Jesus. This sense of where all of a sudden, once we know that's there, our eyes turn towards that. And nothing else around begins to matter, but we're focused entirely on that coming. To not be discouraged, to look to Jesus alone for our help and hope. To not be weighed down. And so when we look at this and when we read these stories, He's reminding us that it's easy to get weighed down by what's going on in the world. Maybe just weighed down by what's going on in our lives. We're feeling struggles. Maybe we're feeling our bodies aging a little bit. And we're not able to do the same things that we used to be able to do.
Amen.
See? Maybe we're feeling like we're struggling. We've got these relationships and they seem to be broken. Maybe we're looking back at our own lives and we're regretting the things that we should have done. Maybe we're seeing our neighbors. Maybe we're seeing family. Maybe we're seeing our nation or the world. And we're feeling overwhelmed by what's going on. And what Jesus is saying here to his disciples is take your eyes off that and lift your head up. And keep your eyes on him. Now, the world around us suggests there might be little reason to hope. I mean, we have a tendency to put our hope in all kinds of things. As people, we tend to put our hope in, sometimes it's, if we could just earn a little bit more money, everything will be okay. Maybe it's the technology. Maybe as something begins to happen, well, our technology will be able to save us. And there's a temptation to look to all kinds of other things to rescue us from our problems and from our ills. Maybe we can educate ourselves out of it. Maybe we can use technology to solve the problems. But what Jesus is turning us to is this idea that the promise of Advent is when we turn to God, that's where we're to go. So there's another lectionary reading that we didn't use today, which is from Psalm 25, where it says, those who turn to God, those who put to God, will not be put to shame. And this is what it's saying, is that we won't be put to shame when we wait and hope in God. You know, that we aren't alone in the midst of this suffering, because that's part of the Christmas story, is sometimes when we're thinking through the challenges that we're going through, we're reminded that God entered in, that Jesus came into the world as a man and he lived. He lived in a world full of suffering. He suffered pain. He suffered shame. In his death on the cross and being cast out, he suffered poverty. He suffered betrayal. And it's reminding us that we are known and loved in the midst of all that. But also that Jesus entered in to set us free. He entered in to forgive us and to change us. And so as we're thinking through this season of Advent, and we read these stories that don't seem to make any sense, and maybe as we walk through the world around us that is pointing us in so many different directions. I mean, I like to go and look at Christmas decorations. It's a joy when we're sitting around the Christmas tree and giving out presents, or when you're getting presents, all those different things. But sometimes all of the things going on can take our eyes off what Christmas is all about. Sometimes it's not